Lord God, take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence and we ask you to bring conviction to our hearts through the living word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, early in February, Kim and I went to the beach on our day off. It had been months since we had been at the beach, and we couldn't wait to get there to rest beside the ocean on a sunny day, which we hadn't had in a long time. Now, we could find only one bottle of sunscreen, and it happened to be number 8. We usually use 30 or 50, but we figured it's winter, we wouldn't be there that long, so we went with our number 8. That was a decision we regretted significantly for two reasons. The first was, we've determined for our skin type, whether summer or winter, number 8's not enough. So we regretted it for that point. But then secondly, we realized that the bottle of number 8 had expired, so it was useless. So after a few hours, I looked like a lobster. And not only was I a glowing shade of deep, bright pink, but I radiated heat as well. Over the next few days, I had to stay way over on my side of the bed because I was too hot, unless Kim's hands were cold, in which case they were on my stomach. That Sunday, many of you made various comments to me. Look who's been in the sun. Someone went to the beach. Spend a little time outside, Bill. Where did you get your color? Or something like that. A few people slapped me on the back, but thankfully I was only sunburned on the front. So that didn't affect me. But everyone noticed. I think I can safely say that everyone here has at one time or another experienced what Kim and I experienced that day and the week following. So you know and you can remember how that feels. And I want you to have that story, that picture in mind as we take a look at our scripture readings from Genesis and from Luke this morning. So I'm going to have you do some work with your Bibles. So take the blue Bibles. If you have your own, you can turn to these passages. But in the blue Bibles, first turn to Luke 9. It's on page 867. And there at Luke 9, I'm going to ask you to insert one of the pieces of paper that you were handed as you entered the sanctuary, because I'm going to have you turn back to Genesis. So throw a piece of paper in there at page 867, and then turn back to Genesis 34, which is page 75. Or I'm sorry, Exodus 34. It's on page 75. Because we're going to start with the Exodus passage this morning. My question for you to consider as we take a look at these scriptures is, what causes us to shine? What causes us to reflect God's love and God's glory and to shine to the world? So let's take a look at Exodus 34, verse 29, and I'm going to invite us to read it together. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Now, where had Moses been? He'd been up on the mountain, up on Mount Sinai. He had been withdrawn from everybody else. And what did Moses do to cause his face to shine? He was talking with God. That's right. He was in God's presence. He put himself before God. And it says Moses' face shone. The Hebrew word literally means to shoot out rays of light. And the Jewish translation states Moses' face was radiant, so much so that the people were afraid of him. Look at verses 30 and 31. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, but they were afraid to come near him. And then look at here. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him. It was like they ran away. He was terrifying to them. I have to laugh when people say that they've been working on their tan, as if their hard work and effort does anything for the color of their bodies, whether they're brown or orange. I won't comment. Just as I did not do anything in my own effort to cause my skin to glow, So Moses didn't do anything of his own effort to cause his face to radiate so much light that people were afraid of him. It's not what I did or what Moses did that caused our faces to change. It was all about who we were with, in whose presence we spent our time. Now, of course, in my case, I was just in the presence of the sun. And I did it without any covering or anything between me and the sun. I chose to be still in the presence of the sun, and I ended up paying for that. In Moses' case, he chose to go up the mountain. He was called by God to be in the presence of the Lord, to be still in the presence of God Almighty. So what caused Moses to shine? He put himself in God's presence, and he spent time there. I want you to also notice verses 34 and 35. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil. He was now wearing a veil after he talked with God because his face was so shiny and scary. He would remove the veil when he was with God until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. The people knew that Moses had been in God's presence and that he brought God's message because his face was literally changed. They could see that his complexion and his countenance had changed because of who he was with. Now I want you to go to your bookmark spot, page 867, where we're at Luke chapter 9. We're starting with verse 28. Again, I'm going to ask you to read this with me. Luke 9, verse 28. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. We're going to stop there. Now, think about this. Why was Jesus going up the mountain? He was going up, right, to pray. But he had prayed before and he hadn't gone up on a mountain. In this case, he was seeking to get away from the crowds, get away from those that needed healing. He was seeking to go away to be with the Lord. And I ask you, who was Jesus planning to be with? Well, it says Peter and John and James, but they were just invited along for the ride. He was going intending to be with the Heavenly Father, to be with the Lord. Now let's read verse 29. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzlingly white. So when did his appearance change? It happened as he was praying. As he spent time with his Heavenly Father, his face was altered and became different. Matthew describes it as his face shone like the sun. Now, if that's not bright enough, we read Jesus' clothing became what? Dazzlingly white. That literally means to send out lightning. That's how bright it was. Now, we know through scriptures that Jesus was one with the Father and one with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was entirely God and fully man. And in his divinity, Jesus shares the glory of the Father, the glory that Moses experienced on the mountain. So Jesus' change of appearance wasn't particularly because he was in God's presence, it was because he shares God's presence, because he's one with God the Father. Jesus did go away and pray with the Father a number of times in Scripture, and he did here. But the Lord took this occasion to take away the veil of Jesus' humanity just for a few moments so the disciples could see and experience what Moses saw and experienced, who Jesus truly was, God incarnate, one with the Father. Jesus shined and gleamed like lightning because of who he is, because he shares the Father's glory. Now, Moses shined because of who he was with, the Lord, because he spent time with the Lord. Moses was changed and reflected God's glory. I want you to also think about the disciples who were also changed as they spent time with Jesus. Now, they didn't radiate light or heat, but after they spent time with him, in the aftermath of his resurrection, they never turned back. They were changed, and they lived their lives as a testimony to whom they had been with, to their master and savior, Jesus. Now, this is the last Sunday of the season of Epiphany, before Lent begins this week on Ash Wednesday. This is the perfect time to think about what makes you shine. Redeemer Women's Ministry has been studying prayer and practicing time with the Lord as they've been reading a book called Fervent by Priscilla Shirer. It was a book that was birthed through the movie War Room, and it talks about prayer and spiritual battle, time away with God, and the power that is connected with that. I've heard testimonies in the past few weeks from multiple women of multiple age range, of multiple personality types, each declaring that they were experiencing their faith and living their lives differently as they practice what they're learning in this book. Choosing to be with God, choosing regular, disciplined, daily time with the Lord, and engaging in prayer as if in a battle. Now, many of you heard, perhaps last week at the early service, but you will hear today as Josette Green is going to give a testimony from her own life. And she's going to share how her daily time away with the Lord, as instigated by this study with the women's ministry, is changing her life and influencing her prayer life and her work in the school system and her relationship with her students. My wife Kim has also been impacted by this study on the book Fervent, and she's implemented regular, disciplined, daily time with the Lord. She's always had quiet times, but this season's been different. And I can see the change in her countenance and in her posture as she engages with the ups and downs of every day and with the spiritual battle that affects all of us. Now, as you think about what makes you shine, I want you to remember that it's not what you do or how much you know or how good you look that makes you shine. You will shine because of who you've been with and who you spend time with. I didn't glow red because I studied the sun and I knew a lot about the sun, and man, was I up to date. No, it had nothing to do with that. And I didn't even do anything in the presence of the sun. I slept for part of the time. I rested. You will not shine because you know a lot about the Bible or because you know a lot about Jesus. You will shine because of who you spend time with, even if it's just resting with the Lord. It's not what you know, but who you spend your time with. Ultimately, what we shine, what we reflect, is God's love. You will not shine your own positive energy. We're reflecting God's love to the world as we grow in our dependence upon Him. And that love is on full display in our reading from 1 Corinthians, Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. So just to change your scenery, stand up. And let's read this together. This is a declaration to the church in Corinth, so let's read it that way. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Okay, you can sit down again. That's agape love. That's the love with which God loves us. It's love that chooses to love. And that's what's reflected through us as we spend time in God's presence. That's what we will reflect. I want to invite every one of you into a Lenten journey and experiment during the 47 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter. I know Lent is only 40 days, but I counted. When you count the Sundays and everything together, it's 47 days. And I'm calling it, just for my own sake, a journey to shine. If you already have regular daily time with the Lord, I'm going to suggest that you might change things up or spice things up a bit. You could perhaps read the book Fervent if you're a female, or watch the movie War Room. If you're a man, you may not connect entirely with the book Fervent. It's written from a women's perspective, but there's really good practical stuff in there. You might want to exchange information with a female who's reading the book. Let them tell you what they're learning, but that doesn't let you off the hook. During Lent, we're also encouraging you to use our daily prayer. This comes from our Book of Common Prayer, and these are, we handed them out last week, but they're on the book table this morning. You could use these to either facilitate worship in the morning or in the middle of the day or at the end of the day, whether alone or with a friend or with a family member. You could journal if you don't normally journal. Just do something different, but commit to daily, regular, disciplined time with the Lord. Now, if you don't have regular daily time with the Lord, or if you've done it before and it's never worked for you, or if you're wondering, well, what do I do with that time? First, remember, it's not what you do that makes you shine. It's who you spend time with. So I'm going to suggest that you carve out a minimum of 20 or 30 minutes, or maybe an hour, but let the Lord guide you on how much time you spend. And I'm pretty sure if you do this regularly for a few days, you'll find yourself the time goes too fast and you'll want more time with the Lord. If you're not spending any time with the Lord, that we'll see. What I'm pretty sure you're going to experience what I do. But I suggest a minimum of 20 to 30 minutes. And you might be wondering, okay, Bill, where'd you come up with that minimum time? Well, I got it from psychologists' recommendations for those dealing with seasonal affect disorder, or SAD. Now, I'm from Pittsburgh, and in Pittsburgh, the sun doesn't shine at all between October and April. So seasonal affect disorder is a real thing. People suffer depression who aren't normally depressed because there's no sunlight. So what do the doctors prescribe? They prescribe specialty large sunlights that are 20 times the strength of regular indoor lighting. And they prescribe sitting before the lights, being still in the presence of the light for a minimum of 20 or 30 minutes for it to take effect. So that seemed like a great analogy. If it takes 20 or 30 minutes to absorb enough real light to shine through seasonal affect disorder, then it's a good place to start if we're seeking to reflect God's love and glory to the world. I just have one mandate, though, for all of you, if you're going to enter into this time with the Lord. Turn off your device. Turn off your phone. Don't just mute it so that you hear it go off. Don't just silence it so you could still see it glow. Turn it off. It doesn't help if you're suffering from seasonal affect disorder to put the light in front of you and then have it shine on the back of your head as you look at something else. I assure you, anyone who goes to their doctor says, the light's not working. I've got it shining on the back and I'm paying attention to something else. Well, neither will it make a difference if you go to spend time with the Lord and you're focused on something else. Give him your undivided attention and turn off your devices. Now, some suggested practices for your time with the Lord. You could read. Reading scripture, and I encourage you to not make a note of highlights, things that catch your mind. Or you could pray, talking, praying for yourself and others. You could pray, listening, being quiet before God, and journal what you hear, what pops into your head. Even if it's a shopping list, because the Lord may be reminding you, you need broccoli. He does those things. Pay attention. Journal prayers. Write letters to God. I learned how to journal just by writing letters to the Lord. You may need to vent. You may not be happy with God. You may be at a low. And that's okay. Let him have it. King David certainly did in the Psalms. Write it out, though, so that you can look back and see where God met you days or weeks later. You could also worship, sing, or walk, or dance, or listen to music, worship music. Be flexible. Some days you may read and reflect. Other days you'll only be able to vent. But let the Lord guide you day by day. Just set that time away and choose to be with him. It's not about what you do again. It's not about how you do it, but who you spend time with. And if you're willing to commit to this challenge during Lent, I promise you that you will look different at the end because of who you have been with, the Lord. I'm pretty sure others around you will notice the difference as well. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.